This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Episode 182 of Below the Belt. It's a Saudi money extravaganza today because Saudi money's changed the face of boxing, hasn't it, Flav?
Seems that way, which is weird. I'm conveniently forgetting all of the issues with this and just trying to enjoy boxing and enjoy the fact that boxing is, I mean, it's not saved, it wasn't dead, but it was sort of twitching. And we've sort of brought it back to life somewhat with this card, because it was, I don't know if you noticed that kind of they did this really, the promotion of this was really good, because before the names of Eden being announced, there was this bubbling of this 23rd of September date that kept being mentioned, and then they released the card and you're like, oh my god, and like, it is really good, right? And I'm really excited about it. Is it as good as people are making out, or is it just we've been starved of you know, deep cards for so long that we'll take anyone? What do you think?
Yeah, because you think about, I remember an old Frank Warren show back in the day, I think it was called Judgment Day. All of his pay-per-views were called Judgment Day.
Right.
He's probably done about at least six or seven that were called Judgment Day, or Judgment Night.
This one's Day of Reckoning.
Yeah, this one's Day of Reckoning, which is a little bit different, but it feels like a similar kind of theme. And I remember Frank Warren did a pay-per-view, one of the Judgment Day ones, and it was a really packed A-side, but not so packed a B-side.
Does this feel a little bit like that?
A little bit, but yeah. Actually the fights are the heavyweight fights, you'd say, those top three and the top of the box rec list in there, they're probably the most competitive. Anthony Joshua, Otto Valin, Deontay Wilder against Joseph Parker, and Daniel Dubois against Jarrell Miller. Those three, you would say, are probably the most competitive. And then, maybe the Agit Kabayel against Makhmudov, that fight looks pretty tasty as well. But the rest of them, not so much. You know, Hergovich, Mark DeMori. Do you remember Mark DeMori?
It rings a bell. It was either one of Tyson Fury's comeback fights or someone else. Was it David Haye?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I remember it because of DeMori was the guy that Belly used as, like, saying you're fighting nobody's puppets. Fight someone who can actually fight. So what's he doing on there? What's he been up to then, DeMori?
He's 12-0 since losing to David Haye. He hasn't lost a fight since. Who he's boxed, if he's boxed anyone of any level, I couldn't tell you. But he is 12-0, and he's managed to get himself a fight with Filip Hergovic, who is the IBF number one contender. So God knows if Mark Gomori wins that, what happens with the IBF belt or the IBF mandatory position? Looking on,
he has knockout power, Gomori.
Yeah. Out of what's his knockout record then?
I can't remember, mate. Sorry. Okay. I think he's got 36 and 41 box rec. Something like that.
Yeah, he's 41, 2 and 2. So off the face of it, he looks like he's got a really good record. But, you know, the reality is he's been fighting absolute puddings and hasn't fought anyone that anyone would have heard of. Probably since the David Haye fight. Having a quick scroll, yeah, absolutely no one. They're all coming off losing records, actually. Look at it. You know, the fight before last, the guy had lost 5 of his last 6. Before that, the guy had lost his last 6. Before that, the guy had lost his last 6. So, yeah, he's not fighting anyone that's any good. He's just managed to get himself a fight with, with Filip Hrgović on this massive card out in Saudi. Did you watch the press conference for this event?
I've seen clips through TikTok and social media. I didn't sit down and watch it, but it was interesting. I liked it. There was a lot of interesting stuff going on. And then we'll talk about Hearn and Frank Warren, their meeting and being on the same stage. That was interesting. Obviously, the fallout between Joshua and Jarrell Miller continues there was a lot going on. It was interesting.
It was. I actually watched the whole thing. Really? And I never, ever watch press conferences. I consume next to no pre-fight build-up. I don't watch press conferences. I rarely watch weigh-ins anything.
Gloves are off.
None of that. None of that. None of the IFL or Boxing Social or Boxing News now. I don't watch any of it just because I just want to watch the boxing. I'm not interested in all the talk because you watch it as, you watch boxing for as long as we have. After a while, it all gets a bit tired. You know they're going to hug after the fight and it's all nonsense.
Yeah.
So I'm just not interested in any of it, in any of the build-up, really. I just want to watch the fights. I just want the fights to happen, and I want to watch the fights. But I did watch his press conference. And, yeah, it was interesting. Lots of mentions of His Excellency. They mentioned that quite a lot. Yeah. They're obviously they know who's funding this. And for a long, it's really interesting because, and I was saying this to you earlier on the last podcast that I recorded with Paul Zanon, the last 10 minutes or so, I said, I'm really worried about boxing's future. I'm a little bit concerned about it. I think we might have an early 2000s type slump. People aren't working together. There's no new stars being made. I was really concerned about it. And then fast forward 7 days and suddenly there's this huge card announced with Deontay Wilder and Anthony Joshua, co-headlining and with the idea of those two fighting afterwards.
It's interesting, isn't it? What money can do and how refreshing it is to look at the card and see Queensbury fighters on there as well as Matchroom fighters. The egos, while will always exist, have seemed to be put aside to some degree because the money's there to make it irrelevant and make a moot point. And I saw Eddie Hearn saying that the rivalry between Matchroom and Queensbury has been good for boxing because his point was that it's made both of them work super hard in order to get fights on. But there's, other than that, other than them working hard to get boxing shows put together, it's absolutely damaging their rivalry. There is nothing positive about that rivalry existing for a fan's perspective. And it's all ego-driven. The fact that they cannot get on to put shows on is cutting off their noses to spite their faces because they cannot. The possibility of generating money is there, but they just weren't willing to do it because they didn't want to work with each other. It's pathetic. It was absolutely pathetic. And it was a beef that's been handed down by a generation by Barry Hearn. And so it's great. And it's important that Eddie Hearn and Frank Warren get on and work together. It was great to see them on there, just smiling at each other. Because the alternative is that we don't get to see great fights. We don't get to see fights that should be easily made. Mm. And it isn't just them two. It happens throughout the world of boxing. And, this whatever you say about Saudi money and sports washing, in terms of it purely on what it can create in a sporting spectacle, especially with boxing, it's a massively positive thing. Is it worth... Yeah. The fact that the sport is being used to change the perception of a country that has human rights issues. Is that a good thing? No, in principle, it's not. But in and categorically, it's not. Sports washing isn't a positive thing. But the product here is a card that I never thought I would see. And I'm not talking about the names. I'm talking about the mix of talent.
Yeah. That's exactly it. And I was sat there watching it, you know, as a boxing fan and being like, oh my God, this is great. Like, we're getting these promoters together. Apparently, that was the first time Eddie Hearn and Frank Warren have ever met.
Mad.
They have never met before, which is unbelievable in some cases, but I guess they're so obsessed with their own business and they wouldn't go to each other's shows. And I imagine there has been a couple of times where, you know, because of purse bids that a Queensbury fighter has fought a Matchroom fighter. But for some reason, they'd never met, but apparently they met backstage and had a quick 5-minute chat back then. And then you saw them out in front of everyone taking the pictures and stuff, and they were standing next to each other and grinning at each other, and it was very strange watching it. I was excited as a boxing fan because I was like, oh my God, we've got Matchroom fighters and Queensbury fighters on the same card, and it feels like the possibilities are endless. And then I'd catch myself, be like, yeah, I know, but what about all that shit that's going on in Saudi? I had to catch myself and be like, oh, I'm conflicted here, because as a boxing fan, boxing really needs this, and I'm really passionate about boxing.
Yeah.
And then, but I'm also a human being with a conscience and with, you know, some degree of moral fiber, and it made me feel a bit conflicted. How do you rationalise it?
I rationalise it by not thinking about it too much.
Yeah.
Just gonna enjoy it. And I know that's not the best position to be in, but I'm not gonna fucking not watch it, am I? Like, of course I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah.
I've got to not watch it, and it makes no difference to the situation at all. Could it be argued that the human rights issues in that Saudi Arabia as a nation is changing and wants to be included in Western culture much more, hence the kind of massive move towards sports that garner worldwide attention. If they didn't want to be seen by the West, then they wouldn't be doing this. And they know with it, eyes come criticism and critique. Mm-hmm. And so I'd imagine there'd be some willingness to adapt if that's what they want to do. Because in that instance, do they not get the right to become better, a better nation? And hopefully there is a comeuppance, and the people will be checking it's so hard to talk about, but there'll be a process where how people are treated in Saudi Arabia is audited, you know, from an outside perspective, independently looking. It has human rights issues being addressed. And but the thing is with boxing is, as have human rights issues been addressed as a result of the amount of money being poured into sport and the eyes that are now on the nation of Saudi Arabia? Because I guess what it is, but fundamentally, I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah, because you love boxing and you really wanted to see Josh. We've all wanted to see Joshua Wilder for such a long time. And it feels like we're so close to it. We're, you know, they've also announced, you know, Tyson Fury and Alexander Usyk to happen on February the 17th, also out in Saudi. You know, that's partly, you know, I think a big part of this is because Tyson Fury can't fight in America because he can't go over there. If he goes over there, they'll probably nick him and want to question him.
He's got outstanding issues, is he?
No, it's because he's attached to Daniel Kinahan and MTK.
Right.
So because he was with MTK, which was Daniel Kinahan's boxing company, and Daniel Kinahan is wanted by the FBI, and people associated with him are kind of on the no-fly list. They can't. They're kind of like banned from America. So like Coogan Cassius, that's why you don't see IFL at American shows.
Right.
Because
IFL
was sponsored by MTK for a long time.
Yeah, they were.
And so he's seen as almost an associate of Daniel Kinahan's in that sense. But so, you know, Fury can't fight in America because of that. So it's probably a part of it. That's why he's fighting in Saudi, because with guys like Fury, the window for stadium fights is quite slim because of the weather we have over here, isn't it? You can't, you know, unless you're doing the Millennium Stadium, which has a roof, which but Cardiff's not the best city to have huge events in terms of hotels and travel and all that. Who wants to go to Cardiff? Like, fuck.
Do you think Saudi Arabia becomes a center of boxing?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you remember a few years ago when Top Rank were doing shows in China and they built the biggest casino in the world because they were trying to take over from Vegas, and it lasted a few years, but then it kind of drifted away. This feels different because they're not just doing boxing, they're doing Formula One, football, WWE, they're doing all sorts of different things. It feels slightly different to that. And they've obviously got this connection with Frank Warren and Tyson Fury and all of that. And it feels like, yeah, this feels like a more long-term partnership. It's been bubbling for a little while. But I think what's, you know, again, we've spoken about the moral bit already, but what's exciting about it is now that because we've got Eddie Hearn and Frank Warren standing next to each other, and Bob Arum wasn't there, but he was represented there, and all these, you know, well, even though Frank Warren's the lead promoter, there's 12 promoters represented on this show. And it feels like, Flav, the possibilities are endless. All the dream fights we talk about could actually happen.
Yeah, because money's there. The money's there. I mean, you look
at that.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sergeant and Mr. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Bunk beds in a closet?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
Go on.
No, that's it. No, you're right. Go on, carry on.
You look at the fact that Ben and it's not falling apart, it'll get made, but the Ben and Eubank is stalling because Ben wants more money, right? Or wants, isn't happy with what his purse is.
Yeah.
Saudi Arabia, that disappears because there is an endless, if there's an appetite for the fight, then there's an endless pot of money. So anything could happen. And you know, like the issues of Fury and Wilder, the issue of the £50 million, what was it when they,
it was
they
Joshua and Wilder
Joshua my bad that's approved that they had the £50 million basically, and
yeah,
it was this sort of, and that's the reason why Joshua and Wilder didn't happen. In this instance, there's nothing stopping them. If the Saudis want to see that fight happen in their country, they can make it happen. And when money isn't, it's not about these shows turning a profit. It's about the attention it's given in the country. That's their currency here. That's their value. That's what they see more value. They have all the money. They don't need more money. They don't need these shows to be profitable. They need as many eyes on them as possible. And they're willing to pay for that. And as a boxing fan, we benefit massively because, like you say, you get the fights that you want to see. And I definitely want, in terms of the heavyweight division, I think I'd be most excited about Wilder Joshua than any other. I'd rather watch Joshua Wilder than I would Fury Usyk. And thankfully, due to this change in what's happening there in Saudi, we're going to see both of those things happen.
Mm. Yeah, you said that to me earlier on, actually, that you're almost not interested, but
I'm so drained by Tyson Fury.
Right, right.
The thought of a build-up and watching more shit, and even the press conference yesterday with Usyk, when they had the face-to-face, and there's a lot of bad blood. I don't give a shit anymore. I'm like, I can't hear Tyson. I can't watch another build-up to another Tyson Fury fight and be entertained by it, because you've heard everything he said and the nonsense that comes out of his mouth. If you keep, it comes to a point where you just don't want to hear it anymore. And I, like I said before, still consider, despite the Ngannou debacle, if he's fit and he's trained, he's the best heavyweight in the world. I'm not taking anything away from him in that respect, but as a promoter of his own fights, I guess he's great, but it's the same shtick that he's used for 10 years or so, and I'm bored of it. because yeah. you don't know what comes out of his mouth is truth.
Yeah, no, I get that completely. And you know, I'm conscious that I do a boxing podcast, and I try to have a kind of a balanced opinion. I have self-awareness, and I'm aware. I try to rein myself in and be like, no, you're not being neutral there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I try to do that, but I am desperate for Alexander Usyk to win.
You are.
I am so sick of that whole fucking family. I'm absolutely sick of Tyson Fury's a good boxer. You know, he's a convicted drug cheat and whatever, but he's an incredibly good boxer, particularly for a man of his size. But not only am I sick of him and his lies, I'm sick of his dad being everywhere
yeah.
and trying to push himself to the front of anywhere where there's a microphone or a camera. And I'm sick of his talentless brother being everywhere, Tommy Fury as well. That guy, somehow, fair play to him. He's made his money, fair play to him. I'm never going to dig out someone making a pound note, fair play to him, right? Mm. But he's got no fucking talent. He's got no charisma about him at all. And yet you just see the cunt everywhere. And I'm just bored of that whole fucking family. And there's so many good boxers, but it gets drowned out by that lot. I'm just bored of seeing all of them, not just Tyson and the lying, the whole thing that comes with it.
Yeah.
And I think once Tyson Fury loses, the whole thing falls apart. As soon as Tyson Fury retires, the whole thing falls apart, because Tommy Fury's got no talent. He loses at British title level.
Yeah.
And John's a not very good boxer that retired a million years ago. He wasn't very good when he boxed, and now he's just a mouthpiece. So I've just bored of them all. So I'd love Usyk to win. And Usyk, fucking hell, man. Like, the guy's... he's boxed everyone there is to box. Like, he's gone... He was at Cruiser. Cruiser was a murderer's row division when he was in it.
Yeah, it was.
He cleans out, wins the tournament, has a tough fight with Breedis, gets through that away from home. Every fight's in the other person's country, wins them all. Breedis' fight was close, but, you know, he got the decision. And I imagine if they'd have boxed again, he'd have won more handily. You know, he does that. Then he goes to heavyweight. Goes straight in with Chisora, decent level contender. Wins that fight. You know, people were too generous to Chisora about how he lost the fight. And then he goes and boxes Anthony Joshua twice. Once in England, and the other one was in Saudi, wasn't it? He's done that, and his country's at war.
Yeah.
What else can you say about the guy? Do you know what I mean?
No. And I think his reputation has been hit somewhat by... Because it was Faultless before, right? Everyone loved him. Somewhat by the Dubois fight.
Yeah.
You know, milking the low blow. It wasn't a low blow. And but regardless of that, he's definitely the one that most people want to win, unless you're a big Tyson Fury fanboy. But the fact is I'm going to buy it, I'll watch it, but I'm not going to partake and watch any of the sort of the build up unless something mental happens and I have to watch it. But yeah, I'm not really done with Tyson Fury.
That's been my attitude to all boxing for about 3-4 years. I just don't watch the build up. I'm not interested. Not interested in people pretending to hate each other. I'm just not interested in it. I want to watch the fights. I love boxing, but I'm not interested in the crap.
Did you see the standoff between Fury and Joshua and Wallin?
Yeah,
because
that's a fascinating character, isn't it, Anthony Joshua?
I mean, he scares me. If he was my mate, or if I knew him, I would give him a wide berth. I really would. Because when he's making jokes, you're like, what is that? That's not a joke, and it's like barely funny, and he's cracking up, which is fine, right? All right, we just have different things we find funny. But whenever he's being positive, it does feel like it's all like the mask, you know. We talked about him having a mask for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Which I don't have any issue with. Marketing is marketing. And if it can generate millions of pounds by him creating a character and working behind it, no issue with that at all. I don't know why people do. You don't have to be genuine all the time, and no one is, right? So I have no issue with that. But if the mask is there and it slips, as it has done many times in the last 4 or 5 years for his career, you see what he is actually like. And Dillian White called it a while back, didn't he? In the saying that he's a weird guy. He says essentially he's
what he is isn't what you see. And, you know, essentially he said he's from the road, and that's the reality of Anthony Joshua. And and you see in the few times when he's been wound up that, I think it was against Dominic Brazil, he didn't like the way he was looking at him, and he switched on him. And Otto Wallin has said something about, said some really, I mean, it's true what he's been saying in terms of that his best days have passed, and 2018 was where Joshua peaked. I agreed with him, but Wallin might be using that as a way to get under his skin, which I'm sure has worked. But he's not incorrect. But yeah, so his reaction to that and the standoff between them was very was frosty.
Yeah.
This is another thing about not saying not believing what people say. He said to Wallin, "You're going to get fucked up," and you just don't believe it when he says it anymore, do you?
No, no. I don't, and you're right. He is. I find him such a fascinating character, Anthony Joshua, because you don't know what the real person is. And what Wallin said was, no, he's not just going to... I'm not sure what Joshua expected. Was he just supposed to sit there and tell him how great he was? But I think Joshua gets that a lot in his life, is people tell him how fucking wonderful he is.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he expected that from Wallin to be this really polite. He said, you know, he was... I actually thought he was okay. When he was asked about Joshua, he said, I respect him. He's a good fighter. You know, like, I didn't say anything personal about him. He just said, I think he's past his prime. And I'm coming to win. He's supposed to come to win. This is prize fighting. He's supposed to come to win. And he's supposed to think he can beat him. But yeah, that seemed to bother Joshua. But I think maybe it was Jarrell Miller that had perhaps lit the spark within Joshua. And he looked, from that moment onwards, he looked like he had murderous intent in his eyes.
He hates him, doesn't he? Absolutely fucking hates him.
Well, do you think he sees it as like a butterfly effect type thing? In terms of, if I fight you, the Andy Ruiz defeat doesn't happen. And how his career has gone, and then by extension, his
he doesn't blame him. No, I don't think so. I don't know. Maybe he does. But my assumption would be not. I think he just thinks he's a cock, and he is a cock. He's an absolute bell end.
Yeah.
So, the thing about this is that if Anthony Joshua is ever in a situation where he has to fight Miller, you know his career's over. The only way he'd do it, if it was talked up to be some massive money fight, which he doesn't need, because there's so much money in Saudi Arabia now that he can benefit from and has benefited from, that he never needs to fight Miller. And no amount of promo or bad blood or explosive press conferences or whatever it might be, should the world want to see a pay-per-view that involves fucking Miller and Joshua at the top of it. But he doesn't like him at all. Do you know?
I'm actually surprised that Miller got on that card, to be honest. I'm actually surprised.
I mean, it's for the entertainment, right? It's just for the...
Yeah. But I suppose you could argue that he failed the test, but he's done his time. He's done his time, so let him crack on. But I'm surprised they let him on the card because, A, he's a convicted drug cheat.
Yeah, hang on, you're not asking scruples from a Saudi Arabian promotion, are you?
I'm talking about not talking about Saudis. I'm talking about these boxing promoters. You know, why him? I suppose they just think he'll sell the fight.
There's a relationship with Joshua. They know he talks a lot. It would be good for promotion. That would be why. That's his value. It's not certainly not as a boxer. Dubois probably does need a bit of a can to beat, given the fact that he's lost two pretty bad defeats, the last two. I know he came out with a lot of credit against Usyk, but he quit, and it's the second time that's happened. So he needs a good conclusive win against someone with a name. And I think in terms of matchmaking, it's not horrendous. Good work, I think, for Dubois especially. But if you really want, in terms of boxing, you'd rather, like, Dubois and Hrgović would have been a better fight. Make the Moore and Miller fight each other right at about 4:30 in the afternoon.
Just having a little look at Jarrell Miller's record. He beat Lucas Brown back in March. But the other wins that I can recognise are all before his failed drugs test. So I couldn't tell you how... You couldn't tell... you. You can tell you how good he actually is. And he was actually out of the ring for 4 years after that failed drugs test.
Mm.
He had a 4-year ban, so which I think is right. And you know, I suppose
did he get popped for? Steroids?
Oh, fucking everything.
Oh, really? Everything. Is that why it's so long?
He failed like 4 tests. Like, steroids was one of them, and then, yeah, everything, diuretics, whatever. Like, I'd have to look it up, but yeah, fuck it. He failed loads of tests, loads.
You think he's clean now?
Probably not. But who knows? He looks the same physically, and he hasn't boxed anyone since to where you can measure it.
It's like, no, it's true, that's true. It's like, though, he's taking a human growth hormone, HGH, and then an EPO, or EPO, EPO.
EPO. It's what the cyclists use. It makes
the protein.
Gives you more stamina.
The stamina thing you can... But the growth hormone, like, look at him. He looks exactly just a big lump. He's like a round ball. It's not like he's made most use of those drugs. In terms of most close fights, like you said, the heavyweight fights are probably the closest. But what is it's the biggest banana skin here is Joshua Valiant, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think, do you know, and genuinely what I believe, I think Valiant's going to win.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I think he's going to win. I think he's going to stop him.
Fuck.
That's my... And yeah. I don't want that to happen because I really, really want to see Wilder and Joshua. I couldn't give a shit about watching Wilder and Wallin, right? I want the A-sides to win here, but I can just see an upset. I can see it.
It is. And we were talking, weren't we, in the group the other day, and I think I said, that's a strange pick. That is a strange pick, picking Valin to put in with Joshua. You know, Wilder and Parker... Parker's okay. Parker's a good fighter, but in terms of styles, I'd expect Wyatt Wilder to wipe him out. Like, I'd expect him to get rid of three rounds.
Yeah, exactly.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
With over 2,300 hotels across the U.S. and Canada, Best Western is perfect for our annual spring hiking trip. It feels a little like... Okay, back to the hotel. What a great day. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
Exactly, I agree.
Like, the first time he lands a shot on him, because he's had a long career, Parker. He's got stopped by Joe Joyce, got a bit of a beating in that fight, if I'm honest. I'd be putting in Parker with Dubois. I think that's up a closer level, to be honest. But, you know, looking at it, I just think... I think Wilder's going to get rid of Parker by halfway. But yeah, Valin, he's active. He beat Murat Gassiev, who got to the final of the Cruiserweight Super 6. He's not done much at heavyweight, or he hasn't boxed a lot at heavyweight, to be honest. But yeah, Valin's a southpaw, and he's 6'5", and he's a live body. Like, he's coming to win. He's not, you know, like I said earlier, he's not there to make up the numbers. He wants to win the fight because he thinks he can get himself a world title fight. And he's a 6'5" southpaw, and Anthony Joshua is not the fighter he was, either physically or mentally.
And he's only been beat by Fury, and that was that was a close fight. Like, well, Fury
was cut badly,
cut to ribbons. Yeah, Fury basically had to knock him out. Wasn't that the there was a controversy, wasn't there? The TV told Ben Davison that the cut was a punch.
Yeah, so there's obviously audio in the corner, and you could hear the audio, and they were saying, you know, they thought it was a headbutt, and that therefore it would have gone to the cards, and therefore they'd expected Fury to win on the cards. I'm paraphrasing, but that was what was going on in the corner. And ESPN comms commentators heard that and felt the need, as that, you know, he was their fighter, wasn't he?
Yeah.
They felt the need to run round. They had a reporter run round and tell the corner that no, that was a punch. That's if you pull him out or he gets pulled out, if you don't treat it properly, he's going to lose by TKO and lose his championship. Mm. So that they were really involved. And they shouldn't have been involved. That was really bad, to be honest. They should not have been that involved in the running of the boxing match. So you're supposed to broadcast the thing, not be a part of it. And they made themselves a part of it. It was really dodgy. And I do strongly believe that Fury, I think he gets away with murders, to be honest. I think referees are really kind to him. I think he gets away with a lot of leaning, a lot of holding.
He used the cuff of his gloves a lot as well.
Yeah, he used the elbow on Francis Ngannou the other day and it wasn't spotted. I think he gets away with a lot, perhaps because he's a big draw or there's an intimidation factor with him. But I think he gets away with loads.
Can I ask you a question I've been thinking about? Back on the Ngannou fight.
Yeah.
Because originally they were supposed to fight on the 23rd, Fury. Is that right? It was originally mooted to be the 23rd of December.
Usyk
and Fury, yeah. And then afterwards it was like, well, that's never going to happen. Was that because Fury was so shit? They were like, you know, he needs way more time. Or what was the reason where it's suddenly completely not plausible for him to fight then?
So, they didn't. I think they fought because you see in the first round, Fury comes out really aggressive in the first round. And I think he tries to get Ngannou out of there quick. And then I think maybe he felt a shot or maybe realised that Ngannou wasn't going to fall over and he kind of backed off. Mm. I think they thought they were going to get Ngannou out of there within three rounds and then they could just move on and it wouldn't have taken much out of him. He ends up having a 10-round fight, a tough fight, a close fight. He's marked up. He had a cut on his forehead. And they thought, now we need a bit more time for a couple of reasons. A, for him to have a better camp, and B, for people to forget what they've just seen.
So that would be the reason. They couldn't just go into it because they think they needed more time to promote it. And Tyson Fury, if they would have fought December, probably wouldn't have had a chance or something like that.
Yeah, possibly. I suppose they perhaps looked at it as well.
What did he do? Not train? What was it then? What was the reason why he was so shit? I mean, I know we talked about this. We did a pod afterwards, didn't we? It seemed mad to me that it was like, Warren looked at him and gone, oh my God, no. He's really bad. Like, wouldn't they know that already?
I don't think that is that saying about letting the genie out the bottle, you can put it back in, right? I don't think you can box, come forward, you know, Chisora's and Dillon's and, you know, people like that and box at a level below what you're at and then go into a fight like Ngannou and think and box at that level. He's boxing people that are well below his level. And I don't think you can go from boxing beneath yourself and suddenly raise your game. I don't think you can do that. I don't think it's possible. And I'm quite convinced that Usyk's going to beat him now. I think he's going to probably beat him quite handily. Because Usyk has been fighting at elite level. He's been fighting at top level against people that are bigger than him, people that are stronger than him. He has to be at his best. And Fury hasn't had to be at his best. And he doesn't live the life outside of the ring. And I just don't think he's the fighter he was, Fury. I just don't think he is. I think you've seen it. He doesn't use his legs as much. He doesn't go southpaw as much. He's much more aggressive than what he used to be. Because he has to be, because he doesn't have the movement or the legs anymore to box in that southpaw defensive kind of style. Mm. So he uses his size and uses his strength and he gets away with murders from referees. And I think he's got by because I think the truth is he's just not that fighter anymore and his level was dropped. You know, against Francis Ngannou, even if he hadn't prepared, after that first round, he should have got him out of there because he's the world champion and Francis Ngannou's a novice. He should have won.
Like he carried any pop. It looked like weak.
No, I don't think you can. That's what I'm saying. I think he's let his levels dropped and he's thinking he can just pick it back up again. And he can't because you can't. You can't just go, oh, I'm going to be good again now. That's not how elite sport works. You don't just go, okay, I'm going to box really good now. No, I just don't think he's that fighter anymore. I don't think he's good enough.
Looking forward to seeing Opete back in the ring again.
Yeah, I love him. I love him. He's so spiteful. Good, he's nasty. He's got that horrible chip on his shoulder. He's a right nasty, spiteful guy.
What, in real life or just in the ring?
he just carries that energy of someone that's got a chip on his shoulder, but not in a prickish kind of way, just of,
yeah,
just of, I'm going to prove, I'm not from America, I'm not from Britain, I might not be a star, but I'm a fucking good fighter and I'll smash anyone up. I think he's got that bit of nastiness about him, but I don't think he's a prick. I just think he's a bit, he's just got a bit of a chip on his shoulder and he wants to prove himself every time he gets, you could see that at the press conference actually. And he's fighting a guy in Ellis Zorro who's, you know, he's done okay, but he's not ready.
I've never heard of him before.
He's not ready for this level. We shouldn't be at this level. I was happy for Lyndon Arthur, though.
It's crazy because it feels like yesterday. I watched the Lyndon Arthur fight on Friday night on Channel 5.
Yeah. Really good fight as well. In the group.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is incredible. He's gone from that to two fights later, Bivol in Saudi, earning good money, I hope. Yeah, fair play to him. Like, yeah, he's he's going to get battered, but fair fucks. Like, this is what it's all about, isn't it? Just has to catch him once, rocks him. Who knows? Beats Bivol.
That was it. It was Brian Suarez. It was in Bolton at the Bolton Whites Hotel.
Yeah, it felt
and
like.
And he stopped him to the body, I think. I think he stopped him to the body. I remember watching it on Channel 5, and that guy was sticking it on him.
Yeah,
he actually dropped him. He dropped after in round 4. That was a really good fight. But you never know. Boxing, you never know. But I think Bivol's going to batter him.
He will. But he, you know, obviously. Hang on. Yeah. Didn't Bivol beat Canelo literally 3 fights ago? Like, Lyndon Arthur has 0 chance. No chance. But it doesn't matter. Well, look, it's boxing. Anything can happen. There's levels. It's like, you know, there's no chance. But you give these opportunities. What's the point? He's reached the top of what he possibly could have achieved right now, because obviously he's going to get beaten. But like you're saying, like from us, our experiences with Lyndon Arthur recently have been watching him on Channel 5 in Bolton, and like it felt like I was watching something happen in Bolton. Like the production levels, the place just looked like old traditional British boxing. And now he's in a fight that would have done typically headliner show. The fact that Bivol is fourth going into he is fourth, isn't it? Fourth fight. The fact that that's fourth on this card is insane. I don't think Bivol has ever fought fourth since in the last sort of maybe 10, 11 fights, I doubt.
Those top 5 fights on that list, on the BoxRec list, we're going by the BoxRec list. Joshua Valin, Wilder Parker, Daniel Dubois-Miller, Bivol, Arthur, and even Jai Oppertaia against Ellis Zorro. Those 5 could all headline a card.
Yeah.
All 5 of them. They might not be, they're not all going to be stadium fights, not even all going to be O2 fights. But they're all going to be decent shows. If you put on Sky Sports or TNT, it's like, oh, Bivol Arthur. I'll watch that. That'd be good. I'll watch that tonight. They're all 5 of them. You'd say the other 3, maybe not so much. But those top 5 could all headline a card in the UK. Or even in America.
100%, 100%, 100%.
Even in America, actually.
100%.
What did you think of Wilder at the presser?
Like I said, I didn't see huge amounts of it, but the clips I've seen, he seems quite reserved and the opposite of what he has been before. Maybe it's because the pressure to promote and ticket sales and pay-per-views are less important now, that he doesn't have to be that person. You know, it was nice to see him and AJ shake hands, because you know that there's been a lot of back and forth and trying to get fights made. But when you're having a fight in the UK or in the States, pay-per-views buys are crucial, right? A fighter is made, his career is made by how well he can sell tickets. And the opportunities afforded to him are, and that happens in England as well, is how well can you sell tickets, i.e. on the gate or via pay-per-view. So it may be that there's a lot of pressure off it, that is the guarantees are not about pay-per-views. I don't necessarily.
Yeah.
The money's there already.
Yeah. You think that it is going to be a pay-per-view card, obviously. Not because the promoters are going to want to make money. It's for them to make a few more quid. And you can't really argue this being a pay-per-view card, can you?
Fuck no. But because I've paid for fucking stupid fights.
Some of the muck we've paid for over the years.
Mate, the amount of times I'm sort of sitting there and I'm like, I don't want to pay for this. but I've had four beers and I'm on the sofa and there's nothing else for me to watch. And I know the fight's happening. Fuck it. Last minute, 25 quid down the pan. What platform is it on? DAZN.
So it doesn't actually say. So DAZN were kind of plugging it, weren't they? But TNT were plugging it. It's interesting. So
because it's often the TV that gets
Warren
in the way.
Frank Warren and Queensbury are the lead promoters. So I would suspect that he's going to be on TNT Sports.
What? Why do you say that?
Because Frank Warren's the lead promoter. It's his show. He is the promoter. Okay, this is the best way I can describe it.
Yeah.
Frank Warren is the promoter of the show, and Eddie Hearn and the rest of them are promoters of their fighters, their respective fighters.
And how have they arrived at that place, do you think?
Because Frank Warren is Tyson Fury's promoter. The UK seems to be... Well, they're doing the press conferences in the UK, which says a lot as well, which shows that this is pretty much a UK promoter-backed thing. So, and I suppose the times are similar, aren't they? In terms of what times the fights will be on, they'll be on similar British and Saudi's pretty similar. So, I think it's Frank Warren's relationship with Tyson Fury and by extension Daniel Kinahan and MTK. That relationship, because they've got a strong relationship out there in the Middle East as well, Kinahan, and I'm not sure that's where he is now, but that's where, so it comes from that. It comes from those relationships, basically.
But why? So it's actually out of the two, it would have been Eddie Hearn who had to take humble pie to some degree.
Well, at the press conference, Dev Sarni, his name? He was the guy... hosting the press conference. He was sat there in the middle.
All right,
Frank Warren went to Frank Warren first to talk about it, and Eddie Hearn was about third or fourth.
That's the evidence, isn't it?
It is Frank Warren is the daddy. Like, he is. That's why when I said in the group, Frank Warren is the daddy, and Eddie's he's there promoting Anthony Joshua. That's his job. He's there to promote Anthony Joshua. I think Filip Hrgović is his fighter as well. Jai Apatai is his fighter. There might be one or two others that I'm missing out, but those three are his fighters. He's there to promote his fighters, and by extension, the show. Whereas Frank Warren is the show's. He's promoting the show because it's in essence his show.
Yeah, fair enough. Bivol
is actually. He's a Matchroom fighter as well.
He's a Matchroom fighter. Sophie's Matchroom. Okay, so it wasn't like a purse bid there. Then it was Matchroom.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so that they've managed to get these guys together, the Matchroom guys, George Warren, Frank's son, and Eddie have managed to get together and sort this stuff out. Like, if they were have to do any business, apparently it's George Warren that does the business between Matchroom and Queensbury, because Frank and Eddie just, until now, haven't got along. But now they apparently do, and you might see more of this.
Going for your first ever run around the park. Literally running errands all over town. Running for the finish line and your personal best. If you run, you're a runner. Find the shoes and clothes to run your way at newbalance.com/running. New Balance. Run your way.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
It's happening. And that's why I say it's endless. The possibilities are endless. Because now, before, I'd say, oh, you know, think about Anthony Yard against Joshua Buatsi. Before, I'd be like, oh, that'll never happen because he's with Matchroom. He's not even, well, Buatsi's with Boxer now. But you think Boxer might, be able to dip their toe in at some point.
Yeah, they're not there. They haven't been invited. They haven't got any fighters in this instance. But perhaps there's absolutely zero relationship between Shalom and Saudis at this stage. Mm. But yeah, only a matter of time, because like you say, Anthony Yard versus Buatsi would be a great fight. Love to see it. Love to see Buatsi actually fucking finally get put in something that's remotely interesting.
Mm.
Such a waste. I don't know why that's happened. And I'm sure there are many reasons.
Mm. But it just feels, I wonder, so with odd. Yeah, I don't know. Well, there was, I heard some rumours about Sky maybe binning off Boxer.
Really?
Yeah. I went to this Muhammad Ali thing the other night, and Ben Shalom was there. I didn't get to say hello to him or anything. I would have done that. I just didn't get a chance to. Yeah, I did hear a rumour about Sky and what, maybe binning off boxing.
What would be the most... Why boxing as a whole?
Yeah, binning it off.
Oh.
Yeah, well, Adam Smith's not there anymore. Adam Smith's left. He's not been well. I think he had cancer, but he's cancer-free now. I might have got that wrong, but I saw an Instagram post that he's not been well, and now he's fine, but he's left Sky. He's left Sky Sports now. And he was their head of boxing, but there was a murmurs going around that Sky might leave boxing altogether.
There's a lot of competition, isn't there?
There's a lot of competition. They've got no pay-per-view fighters. That's the thing with Boxer. They've got loads of B-class fighters, but they've got no pay-per-view fighters. And I imagine for the TV companies, pay-per-view is what they want out of it. Yeah. You know, otherwise, what are they making? They're not making anything, really. People buy Sky Sports for Premier League football. Let's have it right.
They're going to buy it anyway. They're not getting more subscriptions for boxing.
Nah, they don't.
No, that's a good point. What are they going to do? And how much money are they putting into Boxer? You'd think quite a bit.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember you see the leaked phone call between Ben Shalom and it's leaked by Billy Joe Saunders. Billy Joe being the person he is,
classy guy, decided to
leak a conversation that he had with Ben Shalom about Shalom saying that Sky had fucked him, basically.
Oh wow!
And this was a while back. This got about a year ago now.
Yeah.
And obviously, he tried to get Billy Joe Saunders to fight on Boxer cards. Billy Joe Saunders was asking for X amount of money. I can't remember. It was about 100 grand to do something like a down payment. I can't remember exactly. It's out there. Anyone can go and listen to it. And he said, I can't do this because Sky have fucked him. He didn't specify what that meant, but it sounded like they hadn't given him the money that they'd promised or the plan that they'd made in order to launch Boxer as a legitimate company. Perhaps that wasn't what Sky had agreed to and the funding involved there. And do you remember that there was talk that there was some surprise that Boxer had even got the Sky partnership, and that when they did, there was a lot of scrambling around trying to figure out how they were going to do it?
That was the rumours
that you were hearing.
Yeah, you do hear that there is one experienced head there. I've been told there is someone there that works with Ben Shalom that's actually been doing it for a long time. But if the majority of the people aren't experienced people and know what they're doing, that one person could get swallowed up and
They've done a good job. I like it. I would be ashamed if they do that. Yeah. Haven't we got Adam Azim fighting?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it this weekend? Yeah.
I think so. European title, isn't it?
Yeah, and like, there's some good for a boxing fan. There's some good stuff on there.
Yeah, and what boxing does need right now, other than promoters working together, is new British kind of prospects for people for us to watch. And you're right, it is this weekend. It's tomorrow. He's fighting Frank Pettingen in Wolves at the Civic Hall for the European title. What we need is new domestic fighters for new stars, in essence. We need new stars, not because what the thing is about this Saudi show is, it's good that the promoters are working together, but these are all established people. And what we need is new stars. We need new young fighters that we can follow on their journey, from York Hall to Tottenham Hotspur or the O2 or whatever.
I'm trying to think whether it would be a good thing or a bad thing if Sky gave boxing up. My instant reaction would be it's bad. There's less boxing on TV.
Yeah.
But in terms of the health of the sport, there's one less cog in the machine. Mm. And if there isn't a promoter there with their own agendas, and these fighters can be swept up by Queensbury and Matchroom if they want to. You don't have no choice, will they, unless they go to America or Wasserman. But anyway, my point I'm making is,
would it be better if there were less cooks in the kitchen? If Ben Shalom wasn't around?
Yeah.
And now there's the relationship between her and Eddie.
Yeah.
I don't know. I want to see boxing. Yeah, no. I want to see more boxing, so I guess it's a bad thing.
Yeah, and it's good to be on Sky. Sky, it's, like it or not, Sky is the biggest platform. It is, isn't it?
I mean, ideally, Eddie would go back to Sky. That would be great.
Yeah, all these fights would be on Sky. On
Wouldn't
Sky
happen,
Sport,
though, right? Would it?
No, I think
too late, too in deep with the zone. Don't know how long their contract is.
Yeah, they're throwing silly money at it. I think even PBC might land at DAZN because they've left Showtime now, so they're either going to land at Amazon or DAZN, you'd think. And a guy with connections like Al Heyman in the entertainment business, he's gonna land somewhere. So he's probably gonna
is
land
there boxing
at
Amazon then?
No, they've never done it before. But they do tennis, they do football, they do live sport.
They do, yeah. They did football, but they didn't do football. Do you know what I mean? It was a weird one. It was like, oh, suddenly there's the fixture at Christmas or something. And all the games are on Amazon. You're like, well, where's this come from? And then it's not for 6 months. And then there's another round. It's like they didn't feel like they did football. Just sort of dipped their toe in it.
Yeah. But, and I always think boxing is at its best when it is in this country, when it is alongside Premier League football, when it is on the same platform as Premier League football. And I think that's how PBC's done well over there because it's been on Fox and CBS. Which has the basketball and NFL and all that sort of thing. So they're able to, you know, boxing being the niche sport it is, they're able to piggyback off of these more mainstream sports. And I think boxing has always done that and should always and always will need to just because of the nature of the sport it is.
Agreed. And on that note, I've got to go and pick up my kids.
That's fine.
All right,
mate. Have a nice day. Thank you so much.
Cheers, man.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.